Hour number two, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can find us on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com as well. How's it going? Chase McCabe hanging out at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators and the Ducks will meet on the ice tonight in game number five of the John Hines era. They are just wrapping up morning skate. John Hines will be speaking to the media and giving his thoughts on tonight's game. Darren McFarland has gone down to the locker room for morning skate duties. Willie Donick going to join us here in just a little bit. But we are hanging out at Bridgestone Arena getting ready to hear from Mike Vrabel, the Titans head coach. I believe he is walking up to the podium right now. So let's go to St. Thomas Sports Park.
That would be the that's the easiest field goal, you know, answer. And I talk, you know, I continue to ask Greg. I'm like, you're gonna make them, right? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And so I said, we're not planning on using you. We just practice extra points all day, and that's really something that we've been able to do. Arthur and Todd and all those guys on offense do a fantastic job of getting everybody involved and running things that we've done since April, and then trying to add a new few plays every week so that the players can have some carryover with what we've done for a long time against a bunch of coverages and then some scheme things that we think can help us.
Have you maybe been a little bit more aggressive down there because of the kicking issues and the unknown?
In every week's different. I really think that, you know, there have been times where we feel like that because of the way that the game's going or the who we're playing, that we always need to be aggressive. I would say that would change based on how the game's going. You know, he's done a great job with, I mean, however many touchdowns that we've scored since Greg's been here. I feel like the operation and the way that he's kicked the football on the extra points is a good indication that he's confident and that he's swinging it well. And I think that if you look around the league, you know, some kickers have missed as many extra points as they have field goals, and we know that that's a different kick now than what it was. So, to me, those extra points are field goals.
How did Humphrey look on his first day back in a while, and how much could he help you if he's able to go?
Well, again, everybody that's available, everybody that can, you know, all our players that we need them all, you know, so he's going to help us. You know, I would say that he looked look good. We'll need to know more today. We'll practice today. We'll have third down. Those will be opportunities for him to get back out there and work with Ryan and work with the quarterbacks.
Mike, to talk to the players, they've said the message has stayed pretty consistent from last season to this season. But for you personally, were there lessons from your first year as a head coach that you feel like has made you a better coach this year?
I mean, there's always you have to take something from every year, from every season, from every week, and try to know, improve. You look at the game and you look at how you prepared the team, maybe what you did at practice or things that you did within the game plan offensively or defensively and on special teams. You know, I felt like there were times we played well and then we're just inconsistent. And I think I've tried to stay consistent in my approach to the team. You know, and not just, you know, get, you know, lose my cool and try to just continue to coach and fix the things that need to be fixed. Stay as positive as I possibly could be, as hard as that may seem to be to imagine. And when we aren't playing well, I have to make sure that everybody's held accountable and we're pointing things out, but you got to give them answers to fix it. It's not, you can't just say, well, we had to play better. And we have to give them answers and we have to continue to work technique and fundamentals during practice and, you know, the schedule, I mean, I spent a lot of time on the schedule, making sure that the players have rest and that there's recovery at different parts in the season, using those numbers and see how many, you know, the tracking numbers to see how far guys are running and the mileage and the speed and when they need to pull back and practice.
Was there any reoccurring theme when you put together your staff? Because it's kind of unique the way all you guys literally roll your sleeves up and you're out there in the drills with the players.
I mean, I think that the biggest thing would be loyalty. This is a hard league and hard business, whether you're coaching in high school, college, or professional sports or business. You want to hire people that want to ascend to be at the top of their profession, But in doing that, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And sometimes guys will undercut people to get there. People will undercut other people. And I think that I learned that loyalty is critical to be able to win. Everybody's going to have a different opinion, but what has to happen is there has to be one voice. You have to listen to everybody's input and then make decisions. And then the people that are giving input need to have the ability to respect that and have their opinion heard. But what happens in different cases is guys will go into rooms and say, you know, I really didn't want to do it this way, but, you know, this is how so-and-so wants to do it. And the players see that and they respond negatively to that. So I love our staff. I love their families. I love seeing their kids here during training camp and on walkthroughs. You know, I mean, Taylor dresses up in a fancy Santa Claus suit and gives presents out to all the kids and the families and the players' families. So it's I would say loyalty is the biggest thing that I'm looking for, and then we'll try to teach everybody else after that.
Were you totally taken by surprise when you got traded to Kansas City?
No. I walked in. Guys, I mean, sometimes you get exactly what you ask for. You know, and that's a long time ago, so I'm not even going to talk about that. Like, I wasn't surprised.
In terms of the staff, what gave you confidence to hire Arthur in the first place? And then when you elevated him, what made you think he was ready for that?
Arthur had been here. He'd worked through a bunch of different coaches. He's coached players. I evaluated it. We played against him, played against his tight ends. They were always well prepared. They were physical. Delaney was a very productive player. They were hard to go against. They blocked. They were physical. They finished. Came here, was excited to interview him, and knew quickly that he was the right guy to continue on as our tight ends coach. Then when Matt got his opportunity to go to Green Bay, Matt, I would say, gave him an endorsement. Arthur also was outside my office at 5 a.m. and wanted me to know that he wanted the job. And I think that that's also important. And sometimes people don't really know what you want until you tell them. And you know, I think he was always about the team. He was always about loyalty. He was loyal to the head coaches that he's worked for and the teams that he's worked for. Not to mention he was very well qualified and has done a great job.
When it's really interesting, Mike, in terms of Jack Conklin and his improvement throughout the season, and if you have seen some, is it more a case of physically getting completely healthy, or is there more to it than that?
You know, I think with the offensive line and a lot of positions, his technique is critical. I think his technique's improved. I think he's focused hard on his technique. I think he's taking care of his body. And I think he's playing with some confidence.
When it's particularly cold, what kind of things with the field or the ball do players need to be concerned with or aware of, maybe?
I don't think that the temperature necessarily does anything. Maybe if the ground's not heated, if there's not coils underneath there, it could be playing on a hard surface. But when it's cold, and you get hit, it doesn't feel good. And so, we're going to focus on playing and understanding whatever the conditions are. The field's hard, we'll have the right kind of cleats that we'll try to do everything. If it rains, if it snows, we'll have to not let those things affect us.
Speaking of getting hit, I know you're not the biggest social media person, but there's video of you in Baltimore getting trucked on the sideline by a ref. What happened?
That's why we get up in the morning. Stretch and I get up so early in the morning to go and get in the weight room, so that when you get illegally blocked in the back like I did, it doesn't hurt. I didn't go to the ground. He didn't knock me down. Eugene can run, and he's big, and he's fast. And I was just embarrassed because I said, if I get a penalty, the players aren't going to, after all this stuff I tell them and all this crap I talk to them about penalties and being disciplined and keeping your composure. And here I am halfway out on the field looking up at the play on the Jumbotron. So, the get back coach got to do a better job. I got to do a better job of getting the hell out of the way. But I showed the team this morning because, I knew they were going to laugh at me anyway. So I figured I might as well show them first.
What did they say? What was the feedback?
They laughed. Like they do a lot of stuff that I do.
Did it hurt?
No, it didn't hurt.
challenge going yep. from playing more to less?
Just an amazing leader. And again, you have to have those types of players. There's all different types of players when you look at a roster. And as players, you go through this different phases of your career. And again, we use him as an example, as an undrafted player who earned his right in this league on special teams, that ascended to a starting player that moved teams, and still was a starting player, but also was a contributor on special teams. I mean, he's our special teams captain. It means a lot to him. He's been supportive. He's always prepared, but he supports Rashawn and Jayon and David, who he was 10 or 12 years ago.
I was going to say, David maybe in particular, is he a good mentor for him?
Absolutely. I mean, he's a mentor. You know, the one thing that leaders do is they don't just sit in their position room and they don't just focus on their own position. You know, all our leaders, I feel like, have been able to branch out and find a way to connect with guys across the ball, guys on different positions, and I think that's you certainly need that.
When you're watching tape of the Chiefs offense and you're watching Travis Kelce, what about him creates so much havoc in production?
He's got length. He's got athleticism. He's a very instinctive player. I would say that before the snap, he knows whether it's man or zone, and he's going to run his routes accordingly. He's got a great relationship with the quarterback. He's physical down the field. He's hard to tackle. He's very, 72% catch percentage. You know, he's got 136 targets or whatever it is, 97 catches. And so it's a difficult matchup. He's willing to block. And, I've got a lot of admiration for Travis and what he's done in his career. I mean, that's, he grew up playing high school football in the state of Ohio. That's what you get.
Several of you guys have mentioned the idea this week that there's no 53rd guy or no 46th guy on this team. How important is it to you that you've kind of instilled that thinking?
Or 63rd or 64th guy. You know, I mean, whatever it may be, we're just trying to – you know, John and I look at it every week and every day, and we say, what do we need? Who are we looking at? Let's work these guys out. And is this guy going to fit into our plans better than the guys that we have? Is this guy working? Is this guy on the practice squad? Is he continuing to work, or is he just basically plateaued and he wants to just come to work and run a card? And we always ask those guys, and I think that they can look around the room and say, hey, that guy was on the practice squad, and he caught a touchdown in a big game, or he's returning punts, or he's now playing. And I hope that that's some sort of motivation for these guys to continue to work and develop. And our coaches coach them. You know, they work with them in individual drills. They watch tape of their show team reps at the end of the week. You know, maybe a different defense, and they may be doing a different card. But they look at their technique and they talk to them about their fundamentals, and we make sure that stuff happens.
But you want that guy to know his role is as important as Ryan or Derek or.
Yeah, there's no the mentality that I guess I try to live my life with, that there's no job too small to help us win. And whether that's Lynn Coya or Johnny that keeps our building clean, or Anwar or Brittany that makes our breakfast, or Haas and Big John and Joey that make sure that our coaching gear and our players' equipment's all taken care of, or Todd and his staff. You know, there's a lot of people that go into an organization and that helps us win, and I always make sure our players understand that.
Andy Reid bragged about you on the conference call yesterday. What were your thoughts on him and maybe how he's built his football team there?
Andy's been a head coach in this league for 21 years, and the league's a better place because Andy Reid and his family are in it. Tyler had the opportunity to be coached by one of his sons, Spencer, at Boston College in the weight room, and Tyler immediately took to him, and he's like, this guy is great. You can tell that, Andy's his dad, and he's been a great mentor to me in this process of not only transitioning this league from college, but also becoming a head coach and being willing to answer questions about, you know, what it is I need to do and try to get better, or how to get this job or interview or things that come up. He was an unbelievably smart and talented play caller. I think 13 of his 21 years, his offenses have been in the top 10 in scoring. They know how to score. He knows how to put points on the board. You can see his relationship with his players. They love him, and they play hard.
What has Blassen game given you as a lead blocker that maybe you didn't have when you didn't have an actual fullback?
You know, Prue was doing a nice job. I mean, Prue wasn't Prue was getting to all the blocks that we needed. You know, I think the one thing with Kari is that it got there a little quicker just because of his skill set. I mean, he's a smaller, faster player than what Prue is. You know, in some of these runs, it gets dirty. It's not what the picture looks like. And so, you know, if you have a guy that has played running back or carried the ball, he can maybe see the hole and see where the opening is that he has to kind of come back and get to. And he's caught the ball well. He's played special teams for us. And again, it's been a good, you know, addition to us, our roster in the middle of the season.
You guys have had some extra fuel the last couple of weeks from the Brady hype video and Earl Thomas and things that they said, but your team has stayed focused and really hasn't said anything and just kind of stayed the course. Is that just who the team is, or is that something that the staff has instilled in them? What is that?
You know, we just try to come every day, work, prepare, find out what it is that we need to do to improve, to work on the opponent. We try to ignore whatever the outside noise is, focus on us, and do everything we can to try to win. And those things all happen. Those aren't, you know, everything can get turned, twisted sideways. We talk a lot during the week as far as, you know, putting the team first and making sure we're concentrating on us.
Last one.
Yeah. Will Logan be back today?
It's too much of a delay.
All right, so you heard from head coach Mike Vrabel as we're back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here at Pete and Terry's Tavern, Bridgestone Arena. Darren and Willie will join the show here in just a few minutes. We're going to try and hear from Derrick Henry in a little bit. The coordinators are going right now. But Dexter McCluster, former Titans running back, former Chiefs running back, he's going to join the show at the bottom of the hour. So we'll get his perspective on this matchup because he knows both teams, both cities. He knows about playing at Arrowhead. So we will talk to him in just a little bit. Ironically, if you remember Derrick Henry's rookie training camp, Dexter McCluster was still on the team and ended up being part of the cuts at the end of camp. And would went on to San Diego, played for the Chargers for a little bit before getting injured, and then he ultimately ended his career. But they were in the same training camp, so he saw Derrick Henry very early on before leaving the Titans. So we'll get his perspective as well. So I was able to go down to Predators locker room a little bit, talk to them about tonight's game against Anaheim. You can tell that things are a little different with John Hines now the head coach, as they are trying to install new systems. Rob Scuderi, the interim assistant, helping with the defense. So you can start to see some of the changes there. We'll get Willie's perspective because he watched Morning Skate. We'll do that when he joins the show here in a few minutes. So, Elijah, let's do this. Let's actually head back over to St. Thomas Sports Park and hear a little bit from defensive coordinator Dean Pease.
Make you comfortable having a stand-up edge guy as well as playing inside as a, you know, like a
kind of the same thing. He understands football. Let me give you a good example. As good an example as I can probably give you. Another guy like that was Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel was an outside backer for us. That's what everybody remembers. He was a defensive end in college. Okay, he ends up being an outside backer. There was a time at New England where we had to play him as an inside backer. Okay, he's not really necessarily built that way because he's long and tall and, you know, a good pass rusher off the edge. Plugged right in. Never missed a beat because he knows football, understands football. I'm not necessarily putting Jarrell in that case as far as really the whole scheme and everything, but he's one of those guys, you can put him in nose, you can put him a three technique, you can put him outside. If we probably wanted to stand him as an inside backer, I'm going to say that's what he would be, but he would probably know what to do. That's the thing about it. And it's like I say, go back to the classroom, understanding football, understanding what we're trying to do.
What is it like to prepare for a guy like Tyreek Hill who just has the speed?
I don't know how you go against – I mean, he's a dynamic player. I mean, he's not only fast, he's really quick. I mean, he can just – change direction quickly. He's just a really, really good athlete and plays hard. You know, that's the other thing is there's guys out there that are very talented that you look at them and you can kind of talk to your defensive backs and some guys about, yeah, this guy goes hard when he thinks he's getting the ball. This guy doesn't go hard when he's not getting the ball. And you guys have seen him. He goes hard all the time. So you don't ever know when he's not getting the ball. He's a dynamic player, he's not the only one now. Number 14, pretty good. 17 is fast. 11 is pretty good. I mean, they got a bunch of good players, and we ain't even talked about the tight end. So, I mean, it's just that they're a dynamic offense with just as much talent, if not more talent, than everybody in the league.
How much this week do you have to harp with your guys about how quickly they came back from a 24-point deficit last week?
But that's why you ought to prepare every week. Every team's got the ability to come back. I mean, that's – like I just said, they're a dynamic offense. Anybody that's got an offense like that's got the ability to come back. But every team also has the ability to come back. I don't think anybody can ever feel like you got a comfortable lead in this league ever until there's 2 minutes to go and you're up by about three scores, then you might have a chance. You know, when you got that much speed and that much talent on the field, they're never out of a game.
Come by out of retirement and then to come back again this year. Are these kind of the moments that you came back for, just postseason playing in an AFC championship game, hoping to get back to a Super Bowl?
Well, certainly. I mean, it's certainly a benefit. I mean, but that's not really why I came back. I came back because of the players, because of this city, because of this coaching staff. I mean, that's really why I came back. Whether we had gone to the AFC championship or the Super Bowl or whatever it is, that wouldn't have been, you know, I got to come back because we got to do this. I came back because of those people, because of people, not because of wins and losses or anything like that. Now, is it a benefit and a bonus? Absolutely. Am I really happy about it? Yeah, I'm real happy about it. But that's not why I came back.
You talked about the inside linebackers earlier. What role has Wesley played this year, even though he hadn't been on the field, you know, as much as he was last year, in terms of kind of guiding some of those younger guys, like even David Long?
In 47 years of coaching, I have never respected a player more than I do Wesley. Never. Put in a tough situation when you're always a leader and you play a long time and then all of a sudden there's a younger group comes along. It's sometimes like a coach who's been a head coach, maybe been a coordinator, and all of a sudden then they have to become a position coach. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do because you have all these ideas that you want to spew out there and guys aren't really listening to you anymore because you're not the coordinator or the head coach. Wes was put in that position, but you would never know it, ever, whether it be in the classroom, whether it be on the field, never. And for a guy that takes a lot of, you know, he's a prideful guy, but that just takes a mature leader to be able to do that stuff. He is invaluable to our defense in that regard, and being able to help the younger guys and tell them, well, here's what you ought to be looking for and all that. So, again, in all my years of coaching, and I've been around a lot of great linebackers and a lot of great people and a lot of great players, he has my utmost respect.
You told him that?
Absolutely told him that. Told a couple guys on this team that.
Thanks, Coach.
Yep, you're welcome. Thanks, guys.
That is Titans defensive coordinator Dean Pease at the podium. We will keep the Titans conversation going when we come back. Darren McFarland will rejoin the show, but Dexter McCluster, former Titans and Chiefs running back, will join us next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern, Bridgestone Arena. Tonight's the Predators and Anaheim Ducks, 7 o'clock. Puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame. Everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our guest is gone. He was on the line.
He was there.
He's gone.
Now he's gone. I mean, he's fast. So, I mean, he's a speedy guy.
Tomorrow, our show will reside in Cool Springs. Chase will not be a part of that. He will be on his way or in Kansas City, depending on the weather. But we will be there tomorrow from 10 until 2 o'clock doing our show at Cool Springs Wine and Spirits. That's located at 1935 Mallory Lane, as I said, in Cool Springs. Stop by and register for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Predators home game. Once again, that's tomorrow. Our show will be in Cool Springs at Cool Springs Wine and Spirits. That is right next door. If you're familiar with the Cool Springs area, it's on the back end of the mall next to Academy Sports there in Franklin. Like I said, if you're familiar with that area, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We always enjoyed our conversations with our next guest. He is now on the line with us when he played for the Titans. He knows a little thing about the Titans and the Chiefs. Former Titans running back Dexter McCluster is on the line with us. Dexter, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. What is new and exciting in your world, man? When we used to talk to you, I thought for sure you are absolutely going to go down the path of what we do for a living. You are going to be in communication somehow, some way. Most, what are you doing?
Most definitely. My last year in the league was 2016 with the San Diego Chargers. So after that, I played the CFL, then I went over to the NAL last year. But now I recently just hung the cleats up about 3-4 months ago, and I'm focusing on being certified to be a trainer right now, but definitely broadcasting in the near future.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Most definitely, for sure. you know a little bit about this matchup. You know both organizations quite well, and here they sit in the AFC Championship game. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I've been getting phone calls left and right about, you know, who are you going for? Who do you want to win? You know, it's going to be exciting. You know, the whole city of Nashville, man, everybody's excited about it. It's a different type of atmosphere right now. So, again, you know, it's a win-win for me because I played for the Chiefs. I played for the Titans, you know, so I have a close bond with both of them. So it's going to be pretty fun, and I'm excited to see it.
We've got a funny story, by the way, that you're not even aware of. We've learned when we were trying to track you down that you've changed phone numbers.
Yes.
And the number
and
the number that we have, Chase, you want to tell Dexter the response you got from this young lady?
Dexter, I'm going to be honest with you.
I haven't seen Chase laugh this hard in a while.
In the eight years that I've done this, I have never gotten a response this good. But I texted who I thought was you.
Right.
And I get the response that says, "Hi, Chase, I would love to join you and talk about how many texts, calls, and FaceTimes I get for Dexter. I'm the white girl in Tupelo, Mississippi named Rebecca.
Wow.
I have them all saved and call it the Dex Diaries."
That is funny. And you know what? Another funny thing about that, I'm glad you said that, was somebody actually DM'd me on my Instagram. It might have been her. DM'd me and it was like, "Hey, you don't know how much fun it is to beat Dexter McCluster. I have your old phone number and everybody called," and I was like, "Wow, that's funny. That's pretty funny."
Well, now you know who's got your old your old number. She's in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Tupelo, Mississippi. Tupelo is pretty close, though.
You were a running back, obviously a different type of running back, but when you see Derrick Henry doing what he's doing, what do you think?
Oh, man, Derrick, he's a man amongst men in the league right now. He's filling this up right now. He's a guy that's going to bring it every single time. So you have to bring your lunchbox every time you want to try to get in front of that load. But the way he's playing now in the offensive line and the way it's juggling, it sets up the play action so much to where, man, they have the full package. They're the receivers are doing their thing, doing their job. So right now, man, it's an electric feeling just watching them and just see from, you know, the progression from where we were when I played to now, man. It's unbelievable. Shout out to Mike Vrabel.
Well, when you're somebody who can appreciate that position and you understand what it means when you have an effective running game and how things have changed for the Titans really since Derrick Henry has gotten going. I mean, he's putting up numbers the NFL's never seen before in consecutive weeks or in the playoffs.
Right, and the good thing about that, you know, we're close friends. You know, we're both from Florida. We had a half a year together, you know, learning from each other, just, you know, being the teammate, being the team camaraderie, building that up. But where he is now, I think he knows within himself what he's capable of, and he knows that every single week I'm going to do the same thing I did last week because it's a lot of defenders that's pretty much they won't say it, but I'm going to say it for them. They're intimidated by D. Henry, and he definitely senses that. He's going full speed, man. So the things he's doing right now as far as the numbers he's putting up, the league has never seen it, like you said. So, I mean, it's just fun to watch the success that he's having right now, man. The city needs it for it.
Dexter McCluster is here with us. Now, when your rookie year with the Chiefs, was Vrabel still playing?
Yes. I was going to get to that. I'm glad you did. So, Mike Vrabel was there. He was actually the defensive standing in when I was there. You know, so I was kind of in shock when I first got in the league. Here I am, just turning 21 years old now, playing with Mike Vrabel. You know, and it's kind of funny to see now that a guy that I played with, it was a short time, a year, but a guy I played with is now the head coach of a team that I played with, Tennessee Titans. Now I live here, and I get a chance to watch the growth from a player to a coach. And his success, man, it's fun to watch. It makes you feel a little closer to the game, a little closer to him because you actually played with him.
I'm always curious of just what the relationship is like between a player and a coach that played the game at such a high level like he did. He won three Super Bowls as a player, and we see this team kind of take on his personality and – you know, you can tell that there's still a lot of that player left in him, even though now he's a head coach.
It's a lot of player left, at least in his mind right now. So I think that's what the players kind of feed off of, because here's a guy that's been in organizations, you know, that has prospered, you know, being down there in Patriot Nation, you know. So he's been around the right way to do it. You know, again, going back to KC, he saw the right way to do it. Just being around a guy like that still, you know, feels like he can still suit up. He can go out there and he can fire the guys up and get the guys to still believe that, you know what, man, this game is fun. This game is, you know, the best game in the world, you know. So he has a great way of showing the guys how to have fun and how to just believe in everything that he's saying and it correlates on the field.
What have been your thoughts on a fellow Ole Miss guy, rookie A.J. Brown, coming in for the Titans? Had a tremendous year.
My guy. Yeah, I was excited when AJ came in, you know, and he was doing great things at Ole Miss, and obviously, you know, the Ole Miss tie, it runs deep, you know, everywhere you go. And it's a lot of Ole Miss fans here in Tennessee, you know, but I don't know if anybody expected him to, you know, go off so fast and be the player that he is so fast, but, you know, he's one of the guys that if you have it, you have it, and nobody can say it. You say that, you don't, you know. So he's a guy that he's very confident right now, and he knows what he can bring to the scene.
How important, because you're a running back, but you played some receiver too. I mean, you were very unique in that. And how important is it to have that yards after catch ability like AJ has?
Yeah, it's very important. You know, so anybody can catch the ball, get tackled, you know, move the chains, but it takes a special type of person to get that ball and make something extra happen after that yak, which is what we call it. You know, get that yak yards after catch after. So it takes a special type of person, and all that takes is just will, you know, the will to not be stopped. If you have that in your mentality, the will to not be stopped, you know, the yaks are going to come and good things are going to happen.
So, you know, both sides of this, being the road team and the home team at Arrowhead,
right.
What are some of these young guys that have never experienced that before, especially now in the AFC Championship? What are they expecting when they go into Arrowhead on Sunday?
Yeah, Arrowhead is one of the most funnest places I've ever played in during my whole career. You know, I've played in a lot of different stadiums, but just the energy, you know, the Kansas City fans, they're pretty much unwavered. You know, they're going to come, they're going to be loud, and they truly, with the core of their hearts, they love the team. So they're going to do whatever they have to do, whether it's being loud, whether it's trash talk or whatever. So it's going to be a great atmosphere, especially how they're playing, you know. Their heart is in Kansas City. I love them to death. You know, I wish them well all the time, but with the Titans, you know, I have a special bond as well because I do live here now. I played with a lot of the guys, you know, so honestly, it's a win-win for me.
So you're still living here in Nashville?
Yes, I've been here about 6 years now.
That's awesome.
When I came here, a lot of people were telling me, hey, a lot of guys come here, retire, and just stay. And I said, no way. I'm a Florida boy. I'm going to Florida. Here I am 6 years later.
We can't let you get out of here without asking your thoughts on Lane Kiffin to Ole Miss.
Yes, Lane Kiffin. That's a funny story. I think it's a great hire. He's definitely a recruiter. He knows what he's doing. He's played. He's coached in the SEC. He's proven himself. But I know the last time I saw Lane Kiffin, I'm sorry, Kiff, you're part of the home team now, but last time we met, he was the head coach of the Vols. And that was my senior year at Ole Miss. And I ended up with like 282 rushing, 300 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns. So pretty much the game of my career. So I'm pretty sure he saw that he wanted to join a good team, the home team. So I'm definitely rooting for him. I'm excited about it.
I'll tell you what. If the Titans can knock down one more door and beat the Chiefs on Sunday. They're on their way to Miami in the Super Bowl. How about we, since you're living here now, how about we get you in studio with us and we'll talk about the Titans versus whoever in the Super Bowl.
Yes, let's definitely do that. But it'll have to be after my push-ups. So I gotta have my body right for Miami. So I have to definitely get my push-ups right before I can come into the studio. We can definitely work it out.
I'll tell you what, we'll get you and Chris Sanders in studio. You guys can do a push-off marathon. Push-up marathon.
I like it. I'm with it. Let me know. I'll be there.
Thanks for doing this, Dexter. Good to talk to you, as always.
Thank you, guys. Most definitely.
All right, that is former Ole Miss running back, former Titans and Chiefs running back, Dexter McCluster. He was originally drafted in the second round by the Chiefs, and I didn't realize he was still living here in town.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a prime example of guys that come here to play. They don't want to leave, so that's really, really neat.
All right, we'll come back, and we will put a bow on hour number two here of Darren, Donick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Imagine that. We're going to give something away unannounced. Keep you on your toes. We love to do that on this show. What's the fun of a tease?
We do that. We like that.
If you know what's coming, it's not as fun. If you don't know what's coming, it's much more fun. And it's spontaneous. It's organic. And now here's an opportunity for you to win some really, really cool tickets. A pair of three-day passes to Bonnaroo in Manchester in June. Okay, the winner will also receive a car camping pass. Bonnaroo lineup includes Tool, Lizzo, Miley Cyrus. It goes on Vampire Weekend. The list goes on and on and on. You know Bonnaroo. It's a big to-do. Three-day passes on the line. And all you have to do is answer this very, very simple question. In these two playoff games, how many yards rushing does Derrick Henry have? How many yards rushing in these two games versus the Patriots and the Ravens does Derrick Henry have? What's his total rushing yards? 615-737-1025. 737-1025. You must call in and tell Elijah Campbell back at Network Control Studios or the Wholesale Link powered by
Take two.
Wholesale Link Studios powered by
RumbleOn.com.
Thank you. Before I stumble again,
I'm here to help.
You must call in and tell Elijah that. If you can do that, you're going to win the Bonnaroo passes. Very simple. How many yards rushing does Derrick Henry have in two postseason games this year? Correctly guess that, and you're going to Bonnaroo in June. It's pretty interesting. Do you know who has had – this is in a single season, single season postseason, most rushing yards in a postseason? Can you name that? Running back?
Most rushing yards in a postseason.
So the two at the top, they, of course, it's four games, right?
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm trying to think.
So you need to find guys that played four games. Well, remember, to play four games, you're not playing. You got to play that first weekend. You're not getting a bye, right?
So Emmitt Smith isn't one of those?
Emmitt Smith is not one of those.
Okay. Four.
There were two guys. The guys who have rushed for the most yards, yes, played in four playoff games in one season, one postseason.
Is.
One's really old school, but once you hear it, one's 80s. And one is 90s.
I'm going to guess it. Is it somebody with the Bills?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'll
John guess. Riggins.
John Riggins, okay.
1982, 610 rushing yards in four games for the Redskins. Terrell Davis with the Broncos, 1997, had 581 yards in four games. So basically, well, actually, I'm not sure Derrick Henry would even – the pace he's going, I'm not sure he would need four games. No, he would. But I think we have our winner. Yeah, we do. We have our winner. The answer was 377 yards.
377.
Congratulations, Dakota Brown. Dakota Brown told Elijah it was 377 yards for Derrick Henry. Two games rushing. That's amazing, by the way. Two games, 377 yards.
Well, he's almost hit 200 in both of them.
Before that, the best rushing attempt for two postseason games was Eric Dickerson.
Wow.
1985, 294 yards. Derrick Henry, 377. Dakota, have fun in Bonnaroo in June.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
By the way, if he's broken every record to this point, if they play four games, he's going to break that record too. Yeah. He will be the all-time leading rusher in a single postseason run, because he will. He just will. Like I said, we all know that he's got to be effective for them to have a chance to beat Kansas City.
He's also less than 100 yards from, and I know it's counting the postseason, but he's less than 100 yards from 2000.
You're talking about regular season, yeah.
If you're combining regular season and postseason. Hi, Willie.
Hey, what's up, guys? I you know me. I love a good
I don't know if we do historic know you. We
actually, who are you?
Allow me to introduce myself.
Could you let the listening audience know who you are?
I am the commissioner. No, I love the historical thing about this. And I remember Riggins in 82. The interesting thing about that was Riggins – played on the Redskins. The Redskins were a powerhouse team, but that was a strike-shortened year. So they only played 9 games in the regular season. And so they threw everybody into a big 16-team tournament. There was no wild card.
Right, and that's why they played four games.
And that's why they played four games.
Correct.
Like, they were not a wild card team. So Henry has a chance to play four games because they were the 6th seed. But the Redskins, they played four games because
nobody had an off week.
Nobody had an off week. Yeah. So he piled up those yards in the four games. He only averaged like 3.1 yards a carry during the regular season, but then went off in the postseason. So he was a guy that would get the ball 30, 35 times a game. So it was an interesting time in his career. He was like 30-something years old. He had a resurgence late in his career for the Hogs. Remember, they had that great running attack, just that power running game. But that was a really interesting year. And then the next year, of course, they got back to the Super Bowl and got beat by Marcus Allen and the Raiders, and Marcus Allen had a heck of a postseason that year. He was the MVP of the Super Bowl. But you're right. Derrick Henry is getting into that historic category. If he can have another game like he's had, wow.
Marcus Allen with the Raiders that year, you're talking about 83, he played in 3 playoff games that season, 466 yards.
Yeah, so only 3 games. If he had the extra game, there's no telling.
Well, but Derek's got 377, and he's going to shatter Marcus Allen, I would suspect, once this game is over.
So does Allen have the record for a three-game postseason? I wonder if that's
No, he does not. Terrell Davis has the record by 2 yards.
Okay.
2 yards over Marcus Allen. Terrell Davis in 98 had 468 yards in 3 games.
Okay. You know what else is crazy? He's combining regular season and postseason. He's at 377 attempts, or 367 attempts, rushing attempts. So there's a chance he's going to hit 400 if they keep going.
Yeah, which is not.
It's a warning sign.
Sometimes that's a warning sign. Usually, though, it's the 370 in the regular season is the danger zone. But I guess there would be concern long term if you got up over 400 through a postseason. That's a lot of mileage.
Yeah.
In the run to the Super Bowl in 99, Eddie George, of course, had 4 games. He ran for 449 yards, he had the ball 108 times. So he got about 26 carries on average per playoff game.
That's how they rolled back then.
And in the regular season in 2000, he had 403.
Yeah, and that was the danger zone. And the next year, he was really not the same after that. He started to decline after that.
315.
The turf toe that never really
343,
healed.
312, and then Dallas, we just don't count.
But that to think that Terrell Davis has the most ever in 3 games, and Derrick Henry needs, what does he need? About 90 yards to eclipse that for the record. I think it's pretty clear that Derrick Henry's got a really good shot to, it'll just be on pace for what he's been doing already, and that's just continues to break records. Well, though, we had Trey Wing go on in the first hour. It's pretty interesting when I asked him about play John Robinson. What do you do? He was not the, you know, you would think caught in the moment, right? Caught up in the moment of you just do whatever you got to do. Right. You know, you pay him whatever it takes. He understood how the importance of Derrick Henry, but he was a little bit more hesitant on giving him whatever he wants because of, I think it's because of what we've talked about. All these, so far, really the big
shooting
contracts
stars
have not worked out for yeah. running backs.
The shooting stars, there's so many. Like, it's funny, when you put them up on a list, you'll see those rare few that do it for the long, long time. Right, and there's others. You're like, man, I remember him, but you hadn't thought about him in a long time because maybe there was a 3-year window.
Yeah,
like you can put together a list of a lot of great running backs who were great for about 3 years, but then on the other side of that, for whatever reason, or even for 1 or 2 years, right? Priest Holmes or Jamal Anderson. Like you can go right down the list of guys that for a year or two, Sean Alexander, right? That were the best and maybe led their team to the Super Bowl or to a Super Bowl title. But then over a 10-year stretch, you know, it just wasn't there.
Larry Johnson.
Yeah.
Great example. Larry Johnson's a great example.
But here's the question, and this is something we can get into later. If they win the Super Bowl.
We're probably going to get into this all offseason,
yeah,
right?
Well,
we'll have
yeah.
this discussion for a long time.
But this is
what to pay Derrick Henry. They got to have him back. But
right.
how much – and the same thing
but
with
listen,
their quarterback.
If they win the Super Bowl this year, does that change your thinking a little bit? Because now you've accomplished the goal. You've gotten it. You've gotten it with
oh,
this
boy.
Group. You got the ring.
Or is it the Joe Flacco effect?
Do you
Where
still
you
do
overdo it?
It.
Like you just
another.
Have to reward. You just have to reward him,
right.
and you just have to say thanks for that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Love to find out.
Well – we'll see.
All right, we come back. Vanderbilt new offensive coordinator Ted Roof will join us here.
Todd Fitch. Ted Roof's the
Ted
DC.
Roof, defensive coordinator.
Yep.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I need to order lunch.
Yes, you do.
We'll come back. Third hour.
Some brain food.
I think I'm going on empty. We will we'll talk to a coordinator at Vanderbilt.
There you go.
To kick off the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.